The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. Later on in the programme, we'll be talking Mohamed Salah and those lasers. But we kick things off in European World Cup qualifier. Portugal did it, just about, beating North Macedonia by 2-0. Both strikes come in from Bruno Fernandes to guarantee them a place in the World Cup later this year. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Mark Ogden. At the game, I imagine it was pretty nervy, wasn't it?
It was certainly nervy until Fernandes scored the first goal. Because I thought North Macedonia came with a game plan to frustrate. It looked like right from the outset, they're trying to get to penalties. The goalkeeper was wasting time in the first 15 minutes endlessly. So it was one of those occasions where if Portugal hadn't scored before half-time, it would have been very nervy. But they got the goal before half-time, and after that, it was fairly obvious they were going to win the game. But you know, North Macedonia, for me, yeah, romantic story, but it would have been awful at the World Cup if they had qualified. They had no ambition whatsoever in this game.
Oh, yeah. And where's your heart, yeah. Mark? Mark, by the way, was at the game, which I may not have mentioned. It looks like he's just in his child's bedroom.
Where's my heart? I want to see teams that are attacking. The World Cup's about flair, the best players. It's not about teams that go there and play three games trying to frustrate and keep clean sheets. So, yeah, North Macedonia would have been a fairy tale, but it wouldn't have been an enjoyable fairy tale for anyone watching them.
It's like, what, Trinidad and Tobago, 3-0 draws? Who needs that in their lives?
What?
Have you know we lost one game? Hey! We lost two games, as a matter of fact, so just remember. So have that.
We did not draw 0-0.
That was Peter Crouch, wasn't it?
Yes, Peter Crouch's team, Gerard, and we lost 2-0 to Paraguay as well. Thanks for reminding me. That was our fear. Well, don't remind Mark, because Mark clearly hates fairy tales. I've never. What? You're in a child's bedroom hating fairy tales. I don't know what's going on.
How did we get on to you?
I have absolutely no idea. I was sitting here innocently, just, you know, minding my own business.
Overall, Ali, Portugal obviously the better side, but they're going to have to get some collectiveness together, aren't they, before the World Cup?
Yeah, and today was important for Portugal just in the sense of getting through it. In fact, the whole playoff is just getting through it. But I imagine that if you're Fernando Santos, if you're Portugal, once you take a deep breath and just kind of go, all right, we're through to the World Cup, you have to figure out how you're able to get the very best of what is, on paper, a very talented attacking group. While we focus on Ronaldo, and obviously it's important any time that you talk about Portugal that we mention Ronaldo, if Portugal are going to be successful in the World Cup, it's going to have to be a combination of the talent that they have in the attacking half. It's no longer about depending on Ronaldo because simply he cannot do it at the level that he once did. And so all these pieces have to fit together and fit in a manner in which Portugal can make a deep run if they produce with consistency. They were not able to do that at times during qualifiers. That's why they found themselves in the playoff. And in the playoff, they did just enough. Certainly today against North Macedonia, it was just enough. Now they advance, time to breathe, time to take a step back, and then evaluate how you get better from here till then.
How big a pedestal does Cristiano Ronaldo remain on in Portugal, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they love him here, and they were singing his name, but I think I saw the Turkey game and I've been here tonight. I think there's definitely an evolution going on with the Portugal team right now. But at times you're playing with a front five, you know, with Ronaldo involved and Jota and Bernardo Silva and Bruno Fernandes and Otavio. I think they are beginning to play as a team rather than a team that relies solely on Ronaldo. And let's not forget they were missing Ruben Dias tonight, they were missing Ruben Neves, Pedro Neto, João Felix was on the bench. They've got a lot of depth, Portugal. Now, I do think at times they do fall short against the big teams, but I think if they get it right, they've got a very strong defence, they've got good goalkeepers, they've got better players, with more belief now in the players, people like Bernardo Silva and Bruno Fernandes believe they can win games on their own. So I think Portugal will be a dangerous team in Qatar. Are the favourites? I'm not too sure. I don't think any of the favourites will want to play Portugal because they have got that ability as a team now to beat teams rather than just relying solely on Ronaldo.
Got a proper chance, Shane?
I don't see Portugal winning this. But they are a very talented team, whether that comes together in a way that sees them go deep in the tournament. Again, I'm not sure, and that depends on the draw and a lot of other factors going into this one. But as far as this game goes, I think this probably would have given the Portuguese more sleepless nights than it should have, and clearly given the result how it went. But having stumbled in the way that you do in the back end of group qualifying, you just wonder if you miss that opportunity. And then while you're thinking it's going to be Italy later on, you're faced with North Macedonia, you see what they do in just parking a bus against the Italians and then hitting late. That becomes a concern, especially when you see somebody like Ronaldo on, what was it, 24th minute step up and miss the opportunity that he does. And that provides for a very nervy chance. And the goal came at exactly the right time, and then it's easy. But I don't think anything about the playoffs, even in these one-legged situations, is simple or you take for granted. Mm. You get through them. Portugal have now gotten through them. Now you think about what's to come at the World Cup. Potentially good. I don't see them going deep. They can get into the knockout phases. But even then, I don't see too much from them from there on in.
Well, ahead of this game, Ronaldo was asked about his future. This is what the Manchester United forward had to say about the possibility of retiring, and quite open about it, saying, well, I enjoy football and I still feel useful both at the club and at the national team. I'll decide when I want. If I want to play more games, I will. If I don't feel like it, I won't play more. Obviously, he's coming at Manchester United. I think he's the third top goal scorer in the Premier League, so it's strange that we're still talking about his demise, Mark, but where do Cristiano Ronaldo and Manchester United go with what 1 year left in his contract?
Well, I think what Ronaldo says is absolutely right. He will decide, and that in a way gives United and the new coach a problem, because if they want to move him on, it's going to be difficult to move Ronaldo out, because if he doesn't want to go, it's hard to pay him up. He's got a lot of money. Who can afford to pay him? So, yes, Ronaldo will decide what happens next, and it's up to him. I don't think he'll have many options to go from United, because, again, the finances come into it. I don't think the big clubs in Europe won't be looking at him anymore. You're looking at maybe a return to Portugal, perhaps to Sporting Lisbon, or maybe in the Qatar League or Saudi Arabia, possibly the MLS. I don't think the options that will be at his disposal are what he probably wants. So it's up to him. And if United want him out, it's going to cost them a lot of money to do it. So the ball's in his court, really, and it really is up to Ronaldo what happens. But I do think the fact that Portugal have qualified for the World Cup is a good thing for him and United, because it gives him a motivation next season. If Portugal had missed out, really, that could have been the end of Ronaldo's top-level career, because, the World Cup would have been his swan song. I know he said he might carry on, but is he really going to be there in 2026 when he's, 40, 41? So I think qualifying for the World Cup is a good thing, but in terms of his future, only he knows. Only he can decide it.
It looks to be a busy summer, doesn't it, for Manchester United? Their priority isn't Ronaldo, Mark. It's to get a new coach in. Obviously, Van Gaal's quotes this week made the headlines after being asked about whether or not Ten Hag should go to United or not. And he said, well, basically, he should go to a football team, not a commercial team. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think Louis van Gaal, when he was at United, he was obviously taken by surprise at how much commercial activity they do now. But that is the fact of life at all modern football clubs. It's not just a thing about Man United. And when van Gaal was there, he'd been out of club management for 4 years. In many ways, he's a bit of a dinosaur in terms of club football. He hadn't been around it enough. So it was a shock to him. But I don't think what happens at United is any different to what happens anywhere else. Players now are contractually obliged to do commercial work. What United have got wrong is not the commercial side, it's signing bad players. And Louis van Gaal signed more bad players than most Man United managers.
Will it be Ten Hag, Mark?
It'll be Ten Hag or Pochettino. I do think that Luis Enrique is fading out of the picture. I don't think he wants to leave the Spain job. And I think Julen Lopetegui was always an outsider. So I've been told that United are looking at options. And it's not just a case of it's Ten Hag. I think Ten Hag is the easy one to do. He's the easy one to speak to. He's the easy one to appoint. He's the cheapest one to appoint, which means he'll probably get the job because the Glazers don't like to pay a lot of compensation. But Pochettino is still in there. I'm told he fancies it. He wants the job because he's not happy in PSG. But it comes down to money. And I think if PSG are going to dig their heels in and demand a big compensation figure for Pochettino, if Ten Hag is potentially a quarter of the compensation figure, then they might go for Ten Hag. But I do think it'd be the wrong thing to do to appoint a manager based on the size of his compensation figure. It has to be the full package. And I do think there are kind of flaws at the moment in Ten Hag's credentials. I think he's got some credentials, but I don't think he's managed a big club or big players in a big league. It's a massive step to Man United from Ajax. Ask Donny van der Beek.
Thank you very much, Mark, and your nightlight. Elsewhere, Poland with a 2-0 victory over Sweden. Robert Lewandowski scoring from the spot would kick things off in the end. The better team won. And Shaka, Robert Lewandowski then heading to the World Cup.
That's absolutely right, Dan. Lewandowski in the tournament, you get to see him on a big stage again. We see what Poland have to offer in terms of better performances at that level. Listen, you earn the right to play the World Cup.
Yep.
And just given this 90 minutes alone, I don't think Sweden did enough. Credit Poland for making the most of the opportunities.
Looking at it overall, though, if you're in that draw, Poland isn't necessarily a team you're going to want to avoid.
No, because of how poor they've been, primarily in the Euros, as we've seen of late, and question marks are around whether they're living up to any kind of expectation. But you know that they have some talent. They have arguably the best number nine in world football. So that always poses a threat. But if you're one of the big boys and you're drawn up against Poland, I'm not sure that you get too many sleepless nights.
I think the issue is that exactly. The fact that you have Robert Lewandowski, I think, creates unrealistic expectations for Poland. You're right. Thinking, well, we have this guy, so of course we're going to score goals. And it's not quite that simple, because it is a team that sometimes struggles to create opportunities. Now, if Lewandowski gets enough opportunities, of course he's going to score goals. I just don't think that this team has enough around Lewandowski to truly make a push.
Zlatan, of course, not coming on to what? They were 2-0 down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was always going to be the challenge with Zlatan, his involvement or lack of it in the first leg, and then being involved in the squad in the second leg, and him being a cheerleader from the sidelines, and could he come on to change things? In the end, a two-dog, the horse is already bolted, and Poland aren't going to let that kind of a lead slip, not at this level, and Zlatan coming in doesn't have any kind of an impact for Sweden. And sadly, as much as we're cheering Lewandowski being at the big stage, Zlatan denied that opportunity, which will probably be the last of his career.
Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Just go there and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
So much drama in African World Cup qualifying. We start off with Nigeria against Ghana. It was goalless in the first leg, and in the end, it finished 1-1 after 90 minutes. The away goal counting. So Ghana, Thomas Partey's strike proved to be decisive, will advance to the World Cup. Nigeria are out. More on this. Let's welcome in, shall we, Nader Manua and Colin Udo. Colin, what went wrong?
Shaka went wrong. It was Shaka's fault. Everything is always Shaka's fault. No, Shaka didn't believe in Nigeria, and that's why this happened. If Shaka had even the slightest belief in Nigeria like Gab had, they would have qualified. But anyway, look, the other day, I think Nigeria were outcoached, outplayed, maybe not completely outplayed, but, you know, it came down to a goalkeeping error. And, you know, Wolakot did a great job in saving a goal in the first leg in Ghana that Moses Simon would have scored. That would have changed things. He made that save. And then in Nigeria, Francis Uzoho made a mistake, and Nigeria are out of the World Cup. So these are fine margins that happen in these instances. And in this case, Nigeria lost out to it. There will be a night of long knives, a reckoning to come in Nigerian football, and it starts tonight.
It's a bit of a cliche, but it's a good one to use here, isn't it, Nadim? Fine margins prove to be the difference.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as I look at this Nigerian side, like, I feel Colin's pain as well. Because, you know, this is the team. This is where I was born. This is the nation. So you can't help but be sort of emotionally attached to it. And when you see the goal they conceded so early from Partey's strike, like, my biggest gripe with the team is it seems to lack creativity. So immediately then thinking, well, you need to score two goals to try and get to the next stage. I have this sort of nagging doubt in the back of my mind. And in fairness, you know, I thought they were doing quite well. They scored the goal to make it 1-1. And I think the big moment for me was when the Osimhen goal was disallowed for offside, because it was the right decision. But they never really felt like they had the same sort of momentum from that point. And it's a shame, because with all due respect, I think congratulations to Ghana for making it to the World Cup, but this isn't even the best version of themselves. They've got players missing. You know, this is a team that didn't even get out of group stages in AFCON as well. So I think for Nigeria, as Collins alluded to there, you know, it is a moment of reckoning, because it's not good enough. You know, they're not necessarily the best team on the continent right now, but you would have expected that they've had enough to be able to beat this Ghana side, especially with the second leg being at home and the game being poised the way that it was. So for them to not be able to do it, and in that second half to look the way that they did, where they didn't even feel that dangerous, you know, I think this could be a big moment for Nigerian football.
A disappointing night, obviously, for Nigeria in the 90 minutes. Even more disappointing from the scenes we saw afterwards, Colin.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Look, I was pitch side because just the whole organization was abysmal. Just trying to get into the stadium was a problem. They only had one gate open. The other one was the president, the other for the minister, and people struggled to get in to the point where there was tear gas in the VIP section. It was just unacceptable. So I ended up pitch side, and once the game was over, people started tossing bottles of water, well, plastic bottles and stuff on, and then there was the whole pitch invasion, unacceptable scenes, and you know, you just don't want to see things like that. Fans are naturally expectantly unhappy, but you know, I think it would have been better if they had you know, behaved a bit differently, and now Nigeria might be fine, and maybe that stadium might probably be looking at the hammer.
Elsewhere, incredible scenes between Senegal and Egypt. Of course, a repeat of the African Cup of Nations final. Once again, it went to penalties. Egypt would miss the majority of theirs, including Mo Salah, covered in lasers, put it over the bar. Sadio Mane kept his cool. He would score the winning pen that would see Senegal through to the World Cup. We've all seen these pictures now, haven't we, of Mo Salah just covered in laser beams. I'm just wondering what's been made of that in Africa, Colin.
Well, here's the thing, you know, people don't like these laser beams, but across the continent, and I've spoken to a few people, they feel it's sort of like karma for the Egyptians, because these lasers, you always see them in North Africa. They use them on opposing teams at club level, at international level, and so this was a bit of paying Egypt back in their own coin, because Egyptian clubs do this all the time, their fans do this all the time. And so, you know, as much as nobody supports that because you want the teams to play on a level playing field, I mean, you've got a few people across the country who are thinking, you know, they're getting paid back in your own coin.
It feels something very difficult to police, obviously, given the fact the lasers are so small, Nadim.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I don't know, maybe I'm a bit more cynical. I think the laser situation looks particularly bad as Salah is standing there about to take the penalty. But the fact is, the focus when he goes to take it is on the ball that's on the ground. So realistically, if someone's going to affect his eye line, they're going to have to be coming from the ground level and pointing it right into his eyes. And I don't think that's a bit of case. I don't think that's the reason why he's missed the penalty. I think it's just an uncharacteristically poor penalty from him. I think when you look at the lasers, we can almost try and say this is the reason for it. But I don't believe it. I think playing football, there are a ton of distractions, and we don't want to see loads of lasers in people's faces and the like. But you know, it's not necessarily the reason for some of the actions which people go through, because you're being heckled in games. You know, people are making loud noises. You're going up against 11 other players who are trying to put you off and the like. I think Salah himself wouldn't say the reason he missed was because of those. Obviously, he wouldn't want them. But I don't think it's the defining factor. You know, again, you're right. You can't police it because these things are so, so small. And once they're in there and everybody seems to have them, then what are you realistically going to do? Going to tell people to not do it? Because that tends to not go too well, I would say.
Shaka, you must have been laser beamed in the past.
I have. Not to that level, in all honesty. And as much as lasers come at you, and you generally don't notice, I don't feel it's ever affected me in that big a way that it put me off any, but I say that with the caveat that we're talking one or two.
Not a laser party.
No, I have no idea what that is like to experience. So I have to put it in that context at the very least.
And it kind of ends the argument that we had after the African Cup of Nations final last time about Salah not taking the first penalty, takes the first penalty and still misses.
And we go back to that conversation, what we said then, and it's the same thing that we can say now is, look, you make a choice, mm-hmm. and you hope that this is the correct choice because you want to give your team confidence in saying, all right, Mohamed Salah is going to take the first one. Here we go. He's going to score. Now the pressure is off. Everybody else is going to come and follow Salah. Okay, that didn't work today. And whatever argument was made in terms of, well, your best penalty kick taker was not available to take it last time around because you left him at fifth. So here's the thing. You can go right or wrong either way. It's just a matter, and the moment is about execution. And so Salah misses. Everybody else then missed after him. The lasers are coming down. You can make whatever excuse you want. He doesn't miss because of the lasers. He missed it because in the moment he was not able to execute.
Nadim, you're making some strange noises.
No, well, I was just laughing because I remember when he was fifth last time, there was so much, well, not so, there was a bit of discourse from certain people associated with Liverpool because they said, you know, Salah's the best penalty taker. Why is he fifth? Why is he this? Why is he that? And I said, it's a penalty shootout. There's no guarantee that even if he went first, he'd be scoring anyway. And that doesn't mean that you're going to win. So for him to see him go first and then for them to lose, I wonder if people will change their minds, because one thing is consistent. Like, Mane was fifth and he scored the winning penalty again. So it just seems, you know, it's an interesting time to say the very least.
Colin, overall, over the two legs, it was a fair result though, wasn't it? Senegal going through?
Oh yeah, certainly. I mean, I didn't think they would, because this Egypt team is not as strong as the Egypt teams of the past. I mean, you take out Mohamed Salah from that team and they're best, you know, an average side. So I do think that Senegal had more than enough to get. I was surprised, to be honest, that Senegal only scored one goal. But in the end, I think that Senegal really deserved to go through to the World Cup, and I'll be cheering for them, honestly.
So a dramatic ending in that game as Egypt go through. But goodness me, you want dramatic endings. What a match we saw between Cameroon and Algeria. Let's take you through exactly what took place in this tie. Once again, it would go to extra time. Remember, it was 1-0 in the first leg to Algeria. Cameroon, though, visitors, would score in the 22nd minute. Chob Moting.
Mboli drops the ball. It's his own defender that runs into him, and then that allows Chupo Moting to say, you know what, open goal. Deflection as well, 1-0.
Now, this is a huge moment in the game. Somani goes to the header. Is it his hand?
Well, no questions about offside. Comes through two defenders. At first look, seems to get ahead on this. But on review, just the arm extended over the top of the defender, catches some of the arm. Make what you like of the handball law, but that seems harsh to me.
So we take it to the 118th minute, and Algeria get the goal. This puts them 2-1 up on aggregate. Tuba with a header.
It's just a free header at the back post. Nobody picking up from Cameroon.
Take a look at the score, the clock. 124th minute. A hopeful ball's put into the box, and Ekambe is there to score what would prove to be the decisive goal. Cameroon through on the away goal rule.
The Algerian defence dropping in on the set piece as late. Keeps Ekambi on side. Nice little finish with all the pressure.
Wow, what a finish, Colin. What an ending to this game.
I can tell you, I did not expect, I thought Algeria had done enough playing in Cameroon to go through. So, but, you know, I mean, Cameroon, they call themselves the Indomitable Lions, and trust me, they've got that indomitable spirit. When you play against Cameroon, you know they are never, ever going to give up, whether they're playing at home or they're playing away from home. You know they're going to fight to the very end, and that's exactly what they did. And trust me, you know what? They're going to do the same thing when they get to the World Cup. Cameroon deserve winners, and I'm surprised, but, you know, that's Cameroon for you.
That was an Aguero moment right there, Nadim.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on, Dan. What are you talking about? It's too soon. It's only been 10 years. Yeah, it certainly was. I was watching the game as well. And as that goal goes in for Algeria, hearing all the energy, everybody's like really excited. Everything's fantastic. Players are on the floor. They start time wasting. I think it took like 3-4 minutes for the game to restart again. And I'm thinking you're going to be seeing all the sort of antics that just take the heat out of the game. So I said, okay, that's the end of this match. So I logged off and I said, right, let me get ready for this show. And then the next thing, you see that moment. So credit to them for pushing on. And you know, as Colin said, the Indomitable Lions, they do not give up. And what a moment that must be, especially away from home, to silence that crowd that was so noisy literally 3-4 minutes earlier. Like, it's a dream come true for those guys. And I'm sure they'll make a good account for themselves come Qatar at the end of the year.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Well, Alexis will be covering Friday's draw live from Qatar, and she joins us now. How are the preparations going, Alexis? Can you feel the World Cup there?
Hey, Dan. Yes, I absolutely can feel the World Cup buzz. If you weren't bitten by the World Cup bug before this, you certainly will after this week. I'm not sure if you could see behind me a little bit, but you can get a taste of that. I would just describe Doha as a massive construction site right now. There are hotels and buildings popping up pretty much in every nook and cranny of the city in preparation for the World Cup. Every corner that you turn, you will see construction going on. You will also see a number of signs just kind of reminding everyone that the World Cup will be here in just a few months. For all of the teams that have already qualified for the World Cup, they have a number of their flags on display at different points of the city. They have a number of statues as well on display, but it's pretty much 24 hours construction on the stadiums and in the city. Like I said, hotels seem to be popping up left, right, and center, exactly where we are. Our hotel didn't even exist last year, and now there's more hotels popping up around it just to be able to deal with the influx of people coming in from around the world in 8 months' time.
We know the draw is on Friday, Alexis. What are you doing in the lead up to that?
Yeah, well, the draw definitely is the big thing. That's definitely when we're going to find out exactly which 29 teams out of the 32 that have already qualified for the World Cup, who they will face in the early group stages of the tournament. But before that, it is another big matter of the FIFA Congress. Gab Marcotti is coming into town to join us, so you know it's something important. But of course, FIFA has a number of difficult questions to answer and difficult topics to discuss, one being on the agenda, that is Russia's participation in any of their tournaments currently and in the future. And of course, there is the human rights issue that is currently going on in Qatar in relation to the migrant workers that have been here working on the different infrastructures and the construction in preparation for this World Cup. I think a lot of the media who have been invited to this Congress will have those questions. And I think from what we've felt here is that they just want FIFA to kind of acknowledge the fact that this has been going on, because when you look at the statistics, it doesn't make for pretty reading with thousands of migrant workers having died in the last decade in these construction works that have been going on. So I think everyone just wants a statement from FIFA to acknowledge it and to continuously mount the pressure on the government here in Qatar to kind of deal with it in a better way, hopefully ahead of the World Cup as well.
Alexis Nunes, thank you very much. Well, just a reminder, Brazil favourites to go all the way in the World Cup later this year. France defend their title. They're 6-1. Well, Wednesday, of course, we'll see the conclusion of CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. The US looking good, aren't they, after that convincing victory against Panama. They conclude the group stages with that clash away against Costa Rica. For everything you need to know about what's going on in North American soccer, be sure to check out the latest edition of Football Americas live here on ESPN+. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Colin's not sleeping tonight, is he?
Nope.
Definitely not. A lot of questions to come on Extra Time. Nathan back with us. Be sure to stay with us.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Nathan Manua is with us, as is Ali Moreno. Shaka Hislop as well.
Hey, hi Dan.
We were asked on yesterday's show who I would party with back in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Stevie, yourself, or Frank?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I was.
Yeah, but you're not really involved in that conversation.
You know, I'm a little upset at how easily you pushed aside the potential of partying with me during my college years.
Yeah.
It was a good decision. Good decision.
Some people suggest that I made the wrong choice partying with Stevie when I should have partied with you and your Maserati.
With me?
Yes.
I didn't party. Oh.
Hey. Or the night.
Shall you be given the freedom of Newcastle because your contribution to the community?
That's right. That's right. I don't know what you're trying to suggest then. It was a contribution that was during the week, not the week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well,
carry on. What's your first question?
Ali, should Portugal appoint another coach for the World Cup? Fernando Santos is clearly not getting the best out of this star-studded team, even though they won. They only had 3 shots on target.
Well, it's a question that has been coming up quite a bit when you consider the amount of talent that on paper you have available for Portugal. I don't think now is the time to be changing coaches just ahead of the World Cup, so I think you're right, Fernando Santos, as long as you can. He, though, has to find ways in which this team works a whole lot better and more dynamic in the attack than they are right now.
Nadim, are lasers as big of a distraction as they appear on TV? Does it look worse than it is in reality?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the person. I think somebody seeing like a sort of glare in the stands, they might go over the top with it. But for most people, you're not really too bothered because things just catch your eye anyway. And if anything, it literally could be anything. You're just trying to focus in on the game. But that in the game today, it just looked insane because there was so many of them. It was almost as if you got a laser pen if you got a ticket for the match. Like, yeah. It just seemed so bizarre. Wherever the camera went, there were tons of lasers, but realistically, it's not really affecting play because, you know, the focus is the game itself.
Have you been lasered, Jack?
I've been lasered many a time, Dan. And to be honest, at Neil's point, I didn't find it as distracting. Seeing that, it's nowhere near what you saw today.
Right.
You know, is he one or two at best? And you cope with that. As did the players today, seeing that, nobody seemed too put off by it.
Well, Salas missed his penalty.
Oh.
Yeah, but that was going on all game long. I don't think anybody was affected before that.
It's not ideal, though.
It's not ideal. Okay. It's not ideal, but my experience was it wasn't, again, and this is just one or two, as off-putting as it has been made out to be.
Have any of you ever been involved in a penalty shootout with more missed penalties than penalties scored? You can't be Shaq. You can't be in goal for any of those.
I tell you what, when I was in college...
Oh, here we go.
We got to the NCAA playoffs in the first round. I think it went to 7 kicks.
Right.
Certainly 3 of the first 5 missed.
Right. That's just...
Or more to the point, I saved.
Yeah, yes.
The point I saved.
Or more to the point, shows the standard.
I'm just saying. I'm just answering the question.
Oh, no, that's
nobody,
fair enough.
Nobody put a bracket and nobody set a time scale
honestly,
on it.
Honestly, Shaq, how accurate do you think you have been with the information that you just provided?
No, it was the fairly. I'm fairly certain it was. I'm fairly sure. Kind of sure, a little bit.
Nathan, which team from the African qualifiers are you most happy to see at the World Cup?
It's definitely not going to be Ghana, so I'm going to say Senegal, because I think they're playing the nicest football. They've got the highest ranking. You know, they're AFCON champions. So I think them going to Qatar, I think they could make a decent silver count for themselves and maybe get some eyes on African football for once.
Shaka, is Donnarumma overrated?
No, he's not. He's not had a good week, but he's not overrated.
Well, how is he rated?
Very highly indeed.
How many penalties would he save in the NCAA playoffs? Well,
I don't think he would have got three of the first five, that's for sure.
Nadim, which players are currently undroppable for England? John Stones, Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish. Who else? Phil Foden.
Yeah.
Raheem
Foden,
Sterling.
Yeah. Kyle Walker. Let's go blue. Woo. You're
seeing people like Kane. Obviously, he's not going to get dropped. They obviously really fancy Pickford. The back line of Maguire and Stone seems to be something that Gareth really trusts, even though, you know, one of those guys is a big question at the moment. So, I don't know. He loves Rice as well, so they're probably like four or five players. Not necessarily all those ones, because Grealish, Foden, Sterling, they don't tend to all play at the same time anyway, so I think they've got enough choice in terms of rotation up there, but I'd say Kane, I'd say Rice, I'd say Pickford, and yeah, those two centre-backs, I guess.
What did you make of the Maguire booing today, Nathan?
It seems a bit much, to be honest. You know, the guy's out of form, you know, and so as a consequence, to be booing him for the national team, like, how's it really affecting anybody, you know, that's not like a sort of got a link to Manchester United? I don't get it, but I suppose in some ways this is football. Sometimes people just jump on board with something and they feel like this is the right thing to do, but it serves no purpose, especially because he's trying to represent them. He's representing the national team, but, you know, this is not the wildest thing we've seen from English football, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come after this as well.
How did you respond to being booed by the Venezuela fan?
Well, first I was surprised. I thought, it's me.
You were here?
That they're booing.
The Simpsons. Boo Earn.
It was in a training session, by the way. It wasn't even a game. I was like, oh no, they're booing me. Oh, it's me that they're booing. Oh, it doesn't make you feel great. But then this, you know, within me, as you know, Dan, I have a confrontational side of me.
Yes.
So, you didn't know, Shaq?
An edge.
There's an edge. There's something there. And so that sparked all that edge. And basically the way I reacted was, oh, you're going to boo me?
Right.
I'll go show you. And this is how I showed him. I was riding the bench the next game. Hey!
But boy, you made the bench around.
Yes, that bench, I was the best player on that bench.
Final question. To the panel, if you weren't professional footballers, what occupation do you think you would have ended up in? Shaka, you studied to be a rocket scientist?
I did mechanical engineering. I wanted to design cars.
Right.
I would love to design cars.
Where did it all go wrong?
Football got in the way.
You could always go and do that now, can you?
Okay. But then I don't get to share my evenings with you, Daniel.
Oh, yes. Sounds like a cop-out to me. Ali, didn't you study medicine at the start of your life?
Yes, I was a pre-med student.
Really? I did not know that, Ali.
Shaka's voice went very high. Yeah,
I'm very surprised.
Why are you surprised?
I don't know.
You come across the right thicko.
Let's put it this way. You don't have a doctor's temperament.
I do.
Temperament.
Like, yes.
You come back in here again to see me? You mean your legs hurting?
Do you not say temperament?
Huh?
Do you not say temperament?
What did I say, temperament?
That is not correct. I can tell you, it's not my native language, but I can tell you that's not correct.
I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Say again.
Temperament.
No!
Wow.
No. Incorrect.
This is vice versa all over again.
Yes. No, what?
Hey. Listen, you all don't know what you're talking about.
You do not get to design my car, Shaq.
I think we've established you two do not know what you're talking about. We've established that.
Go again?
No. Write in with the correct pronunciation of temperament.
That's incorrect. Incorrect. My ESL teacher will tell you that's incorrect.
So then football got in the way?
Yes.
You'd be much richer being a doctor, though, wouldn't you?
Well, that's implying that I'm rich now.
No, I don't think it is.
Is it much richer? Means that I'm rich now. Yeah. Huh? Which is incorrect. Yes,
yeah.
I made the wrong choice.
Yes.
I'm willing to admit.
There you go. At least you haven't carried it.
No, I've turned the page.
You made the right choice.
It hasn't affected your temper.
My mindset. Oh, yes. None of that.
How do you spell it? I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look up the spelling.
The spelling is not the problem.
No, I know.
The pronunciation is the problem.
It all hinges on the pronunciation, on the spelling, because we're Latin origin language. So it depends on the spelling.
Hey, you can say whatever you want, Shaq.
Hold a second.
I do not want you. Hold on, I'm
looking it up.
Nadim, what profession would you be if you weren't a footballer?
So I was actually studying accounting in the first 2 years when I was a pro. But like the guys, football kind of got in the way. And to be honest, I'm quite happy with that because it was also very, very boring.
Yeah, it's accounting. What were you expecting?
Not designing cars or anything. Not designing cars or medicine, no. And it is T-E-M-P-E-R-A-M-E-N-T. Okay. There's an E between the P and the R.
Yes, but it's temperament.
No, temperament.
So how do you say the first part of it? He's got a bad...
What?
If I've got a bad...
Like me, yeah. I have a bad
what? Haircut? Haircut? Bad temper. It's a temper.
Right.
Right?
Is it the same as temperature or temperature? temperature.
Who asked you anything? Hold on, how do you spell temperature?
I'm going to look that up.
God.
Hold on.
Thank God you didn't design my car.
Or any rockets.
ESPN FC is back on your screen tomorrow. One more time, Shaq?
No.
Please.
I'm going home.
The people want it.
No, they don't.
They're clamoring for
temperament.
it.
Temperament.